past memories, unseen angels sent from somewhere to my soul. How they the sacred past unfold. Precious memories, how they linger. Oh, how they ever flood my soul. Stillness of the midnight, precious sacred scenes unfold. Precious Father, love and mother, fly the lonely years and the old home scenes of my childhood with fond memories of memories, how they linger, oh how they ever flood my soul. In the stillness of the midnight, sacred scenes unfold.
Dear Heavenly Father, I pray now that you would bless this teaching on the most important thing, loving God and our winning souls. I'll give you the glory for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Dear friends, in this first 15 minutes of this week, I'm going to finish a study I started last week. The most important thing, loving God and our winning souls. Many pastors use the excuse, well, it's important not to incorporate and get a 501c3 and violate that love relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, but it's not the most important thing. The most important thing is winning souls. If you've got to be incorporated in 501c3, just do the best you can, because the most important thing is winning souls. They miss the whole point, dear friends. The most important thing is not winning souls. If we love God, we're going to be great soul winners. But if we don't love God, all our efforts profit us nothing. And as I am teaching, we love God not by our words, but by our actions. And our actions are judged by principles in the Word of God. This love between Christ and His church and what it entails is seen in the Song of Solomon. The Song of Solomon primarily is the expression of pure marital love as ordained of God in creation, and the vindication of that love as against both asceticism and lust, the two profanations of the holiness of marriage. The secondary and larger interpretation is of Christ, Christ the Son and His heavenly bride, the Church. You can see, for example, 2 Corinthians 11:1-4. Song of Solomon, chapter 8, verse 7, says this, "Many waters cannot quench love, neither can the floods drown it. If a man would give all the substance of his house for love, it would be utterly contemned." Contemned means despised, scorned, slighted, neglected, or rejected with disdain. God despises, scorns, slights, neglects, or rejects with disdain all that a church does, whatever professions of love she makes, if those acts and our professions are without love. No matter what she says, a church who does not honor Christ as her husband, her bridegroom, by remaining pure and chaste, demonstrates that she does not love God with all her heart, soul, mind, and strength. Thus, loving one's neighbor by witnessing to him, sending missionaries to him, is vanity in God's eyes if one ignores the greatest commandment. This truth is also articulated in the New Testament. The Lord Jesus is jealous over his churches. If we do not love the Lord Jesus, he despises all the quote-unquote Christian work we do and the money we put in the offering plate. 1 Corinthians 13:1-3 says, "Though I speak with the tongues of men and angels and have not charity, I am become as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing." In a theological sense, charity includes supreme love to God and a universal goodwill to men. 1 Corinthians 13:4-8 reveals that love is an act of the will and describes what actions constitute love. A church refutes its proclamations of love for the Lord when it wholly or partially takes the church from under the headship of her husband, the Lord Jesus Christ, even partially, and or violates any of the other attributes of love as given in those verses. Of course, when one studies the facts about incorporation in 501c3, one immediately realizes that when a church incorporates, gets 501c3, she has at least partially taken herself out from under the headship of the Lord Jesus Christ. I have many studies on this that are available for you to see the facts about incorporation in 501c3. Churches who put themselves even partially under another head dishonor their husband. Such churches, by their actions, show that they do not have a supreme love for God, that they do not love the Lord with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength. 1 Corinthians 13:4-8 tells us what love is. I examine all of those verses in my books and in one of my articles. However, for this audio teaching, I'm just going to look at some of those verses and apply the definition of love we see there to the love of churches for the Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 13:4 says, "Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up." Suffereth long means that one is patient and forbearing. In other words, he waits upon the Lord. "But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with the wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint." We find that in Isaiah 40:31. But they that wait upon the Lord, the word rendered wait upon here denotes properly to wait in the sense of expecting. The phrase to wait on Yahweh means to wait for his help. That is to trust in him, to put our hope or confidence in him. It does not imply inactivity or want of personal exertion. It implies merely that our hope of aid and salvation is in him. A feeling that is consistent with the most strenuous endeavors to secure the object, as it is with a state of inactivity and indolence. Indeed, no man can wait on God in a proper manner who does not use the means which he has appointed for conveying to us his blessing. A church who loves the Lord and suffers long is patient and waits on the Lord while using only those means authorized by him. An incorporated 501c3 church has not suffered long. And it says, "Charity is kind." A man who truly loves another will be kind to him, desirous of doing him good, will be gentle, not severe and harsh, will be courteous because he desires his happiness and would not pain his feelings. Applying that to a church and that church's love for God, we see that a church who loves God will not cause God pain or grief by dishonoring her love relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, as does an incorporated 501c3 church. Charity envieth not. One who truly loves another will not envy in the bad sense. That is, he or she will be kind to him, desirous of doing him good, will be gentle, not severe and harsh, will be courteous because he desires his happiness and would not pain his feelings. An incorporated 501c3 church has pained our Lord's feelings. 1 Corinthians 13 goes on. It says, charity vaunteth not itself. Charity is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil. The corporate 501c3 church is guilty of violating all of those aspects of love toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Now I want to move down to this portion of 1 Corinthians 13. Charity rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. That's in 1 Corinthians 13:6. Iniquity means injustice, unrighteousness, want of rectitude or rightness in principle or practice, a sin or crime, wickedness. Jesus is the truth, John 14:6. By following man's devices and combining God's church with civil government, a church is in effect following man-made principles which are contrary to God's precept. That church is committing a great wickedness or sin and rejoicing in the fact that she is following the methods and provisions of a head other than the Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 13:7 says, charity beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. A church who is a legal entity is seeking to avoid bearing perceived burdens such as losing rich, earthly-oriented church members. She is operating outside scriptural principles so that she can enter into contracts, such as contracts to pay her pastor or others a salary. She is seeking limited liability, not knowing that in effect she is probably increasing risk and liability rather than limiting it. I proved that on some of my teachings, both audio and in my books. She wants to hold property as a church, not knowing that a church can utilize property in America while honoring biblical principles. The state church gives other false reasons for violating that love relationship between the church and the Lord Jesus Christ. I analyze the falsity of those reasons in my books and other teachings. 1 Corinthians 13:8 says, charity never faileth. A church who depends upon and subjects herself to the civil government has certainly failed the Lord. The Lord Jesus gave a warning to the church at Ephesus, and we see that in Revelations 2:2-5. You can read that for yourself. That church had lost its first love, and God warns that church that except it repent and return to its first love, that he would remove its candlestick out of his place except that church repent. As Dr. J. Vernon McGee teaches us, this warning was for every church who has lost her love for the Lord Jesus Christ. It was a warning of danger of getting away from a personal and loving relationship with Jesus Christ. The real test of any believer, especially those who are attempting to serve him, is not your little method or your mode or system or your dedication or any of those things that are so often emphasized today, Dr. McGee teaches us. The one question is, according to Dr. McGee, do you love him? Do you love the Lord Jesus? When you love him, you will be in a right relationship with him. When you begin to depart from the person of Christ, it will finally lead to lukewarmness. The apostate church was guilty of lukewarmness. It may not seem to be too bad, but it is the worst condition that anyone can be in. A great preacher in Upper New York State said, 20 lukewarm Christians hurt the cause of Christ more than one blatant atheist. A lukewarm church is a disgrace to Christ. You'll find that in Revelation, Volume 1, by Dr. J. Vernon McGee, pages 121 through 122. The church who really loves her husband, the Lord Jesus Christ, will seek to maintain her purity, to be subject to her husband in all things. All the professions of love, all the good deeds, all the hymns sung, all the messages preached by a church who does not totally submit herself in all things to her husband are contemned by the Lord, since that church, by her actions, shows that she does not love the Lord Jesus Christ. A church who incorporates, organizes as a charitable trust or an unincorporated association, takes a 501c3 tax exemption, a license, any type permit from the state, or puts herself under the state in any way, becomes an earthly legal entity subject to the jurisdiction of the earthly power, the civil government. And in spite of any professions of love for the Lord, according to her actions, shows that she does not fully love the Lord Jesus Christ. This is Attorney Gerald Finney. Go to my website, Church and State Law, for these archived broadcasts and much more information. I'll be back next week, same time, same place.